absolutely right. I did not finish my Terry Clemens story yesterday, did I? About building a hut or a cabin in the Yukon. And I said I was tempted to do it, but I wouldn't do it. I didn't say why I wouldn't do it, did I? I'm going to tell you today why I would not do that. It's very tempting to withdraw, to drop out, get off the grid, as it were. Yeah, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you today. Because I'm feeling bold. That's why. I'm feeling very bold, very daring today. Yeah, I'm getting my energy back for the new year here. I know it's all arbitrary. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. It's an arbitrary line, this January 1st. It's arbitrary. You know when the real first of the year is to me? You know when I feel renewed? It's like in September. And when because that's when you started school and you had this fresh purpose. Why am I telling you these fibs? It was a pure anguish for me in September when school started. So let me change that. No, you're right. That's not September. September was agony for me. I counted down the days to school, and it was like counting down the days to a hanging. In fact, a hanging would have been preferred. It's the summer vacation of June. That's when the year starts for me. That's the best time of the year for me, June. Our school back in the day ended around June 6th. And so that's the new season of refreshment. That's when things are finally warming up and you feel a new desire and a new purpose. So don't put any pressure on you. Please, none of you, I pray that none of you have made a New Year's resolution. This is a very, very bad idea. These things never work. Again, it's an arbitrary line. It's like having a Holy Spirit revival at 7 p.m. The Holy Spirit does not have a watch. The Holy Spirit might not show up. How would you like to, you know, have a Holy Spirit revival and the Holy Spirit doesn't show up? And so it'd be very embarrassing. So you think that January 1st is some new thing, and so, but it's not. It's an arbitrary line. Just like Colorado, they say, starts at the Kansas line. It doesn't. When you go from Kansas to Colorado on Interstate 76, you're still in Colorado. You're still in Kansas for another 200 miles. You don't actually enter Colorado until you hit either the Rocky Mountains or a Coors truck. So it's arbitrary. And so, you know, when you're a teenager, you turn 13, arbitrary, doesn't mean anything. You turn 40, doesn't mean anything. Christmas Day doesn't mean anything. It's all in your mind. So you limit yourself. What's Valentine's Day? Everybody thinks they have to get their lover, their girlfriend, their wife flowers on Valentine's Day. It's a terrible mistake. It's an arbitrary line invented by Hallmark. Here's what you do. You buy your wife or your girlfriend flowers on, say, March 3rd. Say, Martin, what's March 3rd? Exactly. March 3rd means that that's the day you had a feeling of warmth or love or care or tenderness for your wife or your girlfriend. So that's the day you buy them flowers when the inspiration hits. It's like I hate this expectation put on people by these false holidays, whether it's Valentine's Day, New Year's, Christmas, Easter. I hate these holidays and I usually withdraw. I go away. I burrow. Like a bear in the winter. He hibernates. He finds a cave and he goes away. I go away because I hate the expectation, the external expectation forced on me by these artificial plastic holidays. So it's spontaneous now. So you can make a new beginning anytime. Doesn't have to be. In fact, don't make it January 1st because that's when you're expected to. I'll never forget on one. It was back in the 70s and my sister and I were babysitting for the neighbor girl, little 8-year-old kid, and we were in our teens, I guess, and it was New Year's Eve, and I was saying that I wasn't going to cuss. I was going to give up cussing for that year. Let's just say it was 1975. So that was my New Year's resolution, okay? So we're watching Dick Clark, and here comes the ball down, and it's coming down in Times Square, and everybody's saying, 10, 9, 8, and it's all exciting, and then something happened with the cable reception or the television, and the whole television went black, and it's like, and I was just like, what the, bloop, 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 bloop. So I was cussing my head off, because the television went black in the last 8 seconds of the countdown to the new year, and so, you see, what happened was, is that my New Year's resolution was broken 8 seconds before the new year. That's what New Year's resolutions do for you. What you do instead is you just live your life, forget these stupid man-made lines, and you just count on God to move you when he moves you. And until he moves you, you're not going to be moved. Until he gives you a spirit of love, a spirit of joy, a spirit of peace. You know what somebody told me one time? Produce the fruits of the spirit. Oh, okay. And, you know, they stare at you. And it's like you're having a bowel movement, trying to produce the fruits of the spirit. I can't do it. What do you mean produce the fruits of the spirit? You can't do it on demand. You can't make a resolution on January 1st. You can't work up love for your wife on February the 14th. You either have it or you don't, moron. When you have it, you send her flowers. And God forbid that should happen on February 14th because it's just predictable. And I challenge you wives not to expect it on February 14th because, again, why are you thrilled? Why are you thrilled when your husband sends you hearts or chocolates or flowers on February the 14th? Don't you understand? He's doing it because he has to. He's doing it because if he doesn't do it on February the 14th, you're going to be mad at him. That's why he's doing it. And yet you're all, oh, that's so thoughtful of you. No, it's not thoughtful. It's guilt-laden and guilt-ridden. Right? So instead, like, when he sends flowers, and now I'm talking to husbands. I just talked to the wives. Now I'm going to talk to husbands. When you feel the urge, do it. When you feel the urge, like, thank God I'm married to this woman. You know, I mean, she's not perfect. She's not everything I hoped and dreamed for, but by God, she's a good woman. And she loves me and she loves God. Just buy her flowers that day. And it doesn't matter what day it is. She'll appreciate that more than any other day. But I hate to tell you, but she's still going to expect it on February 14th. It's a high-pressure day, like January 1st. I recommend forgetting about it. Just forgetting about it. If you're a man or a woman, I want you to train your spouse to ignore these artificial man-made holidays and instead embrace the truth. So, truth being God working in your life every day, as if we're supposed to segregate a day to pray. This is the problem I have with a national day of prayer. What? You want me to pray the first Thursday in May? What a slap in the face to the fact that I pray every day. That's a whole other story. I'll talk to you about that on the second Thursday in May, first Thursday in May. But anyway, so I don't believe that it's a good idea to hide yourself away in a cabin in the Yukon, although I'm tempted. I'm tempted to drop out, and you are too. Get off the grid. But God works with us, and it is tempting to want to have this sameness. What this is a desire to avoid risk, to take all risk out of your life. But folks, life is a risk. The whole thing is a risk. When you come out of your mother's womb, that is a total risk, and it's involuntary at that point. But from that point on, you start school, or you make new friends, or you know, you're up there at a recital. Everything you do in life is a risk, and it's a gamble. Here's the secret. I've told you this before. The secret to taking risks is to not be afraid of making a fool of yourself. You have to voluntarily accept the fact that you could be a fool and that you are a fool. Once you get to that point, life's easy after that. You no longer are cautious about anything. Now, most people don't get to this until they turn 80 or 90 years old. Then it's like they just throw caution to the wind and they say whatever they want. Give me my dinner. Give me my dinner. I'm hungry. And that's great. So I say start doing that now. Why wait till you're 80 or 90 to speak your mind? It's a total waste of time. And here's another thing. Why wait till you retire from your job to do what you really want? That's a bad mistake. I just heard a story over Christmas of somebody who worked their entire life, built up a nest egg, sacrificed, never gave any money to their children, never spent any money buying pizza or going or giving them a special treat for their birthday, saving money so they can send them to college, saving money so they can retire, have a nest egg. And then by the time they do, their children hate them and they're miserable and they're fat and they're stressed out from working all the time. What you want to do is do what you want now. Pursue your passion now. And screw the future, because there might not be a future. There might not be a future. So live for today. And it sounds like worldly advice, but actually it's scriptural advice. Jesus himself said, take no thought for the morrow. That means tomorrow. That's King James talk for the morrow. I don't know why they said it that way. I say tomorrow. And any decent translation will say that. Take no thought for it. And so this is one of those transadministrational truths. God gives you what you need for the day. You're not going to build a barn. You're not going to save up. I mean, it is nice to have a little bit of money stashed away, but you're not going to have much. You never will. You're going to have a little, maybe, if you're lucky. Most people I know are living paycheck to paycheck, and that's what Israel did in the wilderness. They lived paycheck to paycheck. In other words, God gave them only enough food for that day, and they were not even supposed to, you know, build up a surplus. So I don't want you to do that. I don't do it. I can't do it anyway. And so we're all living by faith here. That's the way God likes it. So we're back in Hebrews 12. Don't go into the parable of all this. The lesson to be learned is don't go away. Don't go into a nunnery or a monkery or a cabin in the Yukon. Don't do it. And I'm going to tell my friend Terry not to do it. It's very tempting. But we're meant to roll the dice. We're meant to live. We're meant to take chances. We're meant to make fools of ourselves. And so do it. I had a little hand-printed note on my printer back in Greenwich, Ohio, and it said, when in doubt, do it. That's the opposite of secreting yourself away into a cabin or crawling into a cave during the winter. Although, would I ever like to crawl away in a cave during the winter? Now, Esau sought to change his mind about selling his birthright for a bowl of lentil soup, and he couldn't do it. Now, listen to this. This is verse 8. I hardly have time for this now. Verse 18 through 27. Verse 18 through 27 of Hebrews 12. If you read this verse and apply it to yourself, God help you. Because you are going to be scared. You're going to be doubtful of your salvation. You're going to be doubtful of God's continued smile. And you're going to think you can blow your salvation. So tomorrow, as we end the week, do we end the week tomorrow? Yes, we do. All right. Tomorrow, I'm going to go over passages, verses 18 through 27. I might as well just go ahead through 28. Might finish chapter 12 tomorrow. Might. Don't get too excited about that. I'm going to try. Don't get too excited about it. I'm going to read some quotes from A. Enoch. I'm going to read these passages, and I'm going to tell you not to apply these to yourself. Folks, the entire Word of God is for you, but it is not all to you. Do not apply passages meant for Hebrews, for Israelites, to yourself, unless I tell you you can, unless it's a transadministrational truth, like grace, for instance, or the discipline of the Lord. Other than that, forget it. I'll keep you straight. Don't worry. It's all going to be good. Yeah, no, it's good. I'm going to...